chapter 4, but it's actually on this page. Everybody's having a good morning. Let me hear you say amen. Good to be in the house. I'm trying to wear Saints colors today. I do cheer for the New Orleans Saints, and everybody said amen. And so I don't know who's going to win quarterback, but I know that God wins. And so we're excited about the message, about the series this morning. And so if you're studying the Word with us in the group and in the book of Philippians, one of the things that we're doing is meditating on the Word of God. And so typically in my life, I will try to get a good Bible, a version of a Bible. A lot of scholars believe in the English Standard Version, which simply means this, is that they take the original language, which in this case is the Greek, the New Testament, and so they take it and they transcribe it word for word as accurate as they possibly can. So when you're studying the Bible, and you should be studying the Bible, whenever you want to get a good version, maybe some people, I know the New American Standard, I think a lot of people are using English Standard Version, your Bible's in the pure English Standard Version. However, today, if you will allow me just a little bit of leeway, I'm going to be reading from the Message Version, which is different than the English Standard Version. This guy that wrote the Message sort of was reaching out to his church, his community, and they weren't really getting the heart of what Paul was writing because it was these and thous, and they didn't really understand that Paul was writing a letter. Everybody say he's writing a letter. So whenever you write a letter, it's a little bit different because you're writing congruently without without any verses or chapters. You're really writing to, in this case, he is writing to the church at Philippi. Now, this is a good letter. There are some letters that Paul writes and they're not good. You ever read one of Paul's letters and they're like, he's fussing them all the time. He's like the mom that just won't stop, or the father that's like, you've got this all wrong. In fact, Paul, he will write a letter to the first church of Corinthians. You ever read 1 Corinthians? He writes to the church of Corinth and he says, hey, you didn't get it right. Let me write a second letter. So let's come up with 2 Corinthians. And he just goes off on them. And so it's very interesting. Philippians is only 4 chapters. And so as he's writing, now Pastor Ted, he told us last week, he said, you know, he was writing, this is on his second missionary journey. Paul took 3 missionary journeys, but this is actually on the second journey. And if you remember correctly, Lydia and her family give her life to the Lord. And then also the jailer that Paul and Silas praised that, he gives his life to the Lord and his whole family. And so they start a church in Philippi. And this church is well. It is healthy, you can tell, because Paul doesn't fuss too much in the letter. But he writes the letter, if you remember, from a jail. And so he is writing these letters from a prison, though he is choosing, as we learned last week, to walk in joy in the Lord. And so we are going to be looking at Philippians 4. Now, the Message Version of the Bible, I like it because he sort of puts in these words and these feelings and these emotions that sometimes I like to read. So I'm reading through Philippians for the next 6 weeks, and it captures my heart again. Sometimes you just need the Word of God to capture your heart again, to remind you. It stirs my soul again. And so I like the Message Bible for this idea of what we're going to study today. So are you ready? Say amen. Or go Saints, whatever one you feel. And so Philippians 4 in verse 1, it says this. Paul writes and he says in the Message, he says, my dear, dear friends, ! I love you so much. Paul loves his church. Paul loves the church. We should love the church. We should believe this is the bride of Christ. We're not perfect, amen, but Paul says, man, I love you so much. I have great pride. You are my dear friends. Keep on reading. He says, I do want the very, very, very best for you. I mean, as pastors, we want the very best for you, for Hope Community Church, and so does Paul for the church at Philippi. And so he says, you make me feel such joy. You fill me with such pride. Don't waver. If you're an underlining kind of person, just underline that. Don't waver. Stay on track. Underline that one too. And then it says, stay steady in God. And so Paul is encouraging people because he knows that it's easy to waver. Can I get an amen? He knows that it's easy to get off track, because if you've been following Christ longer than a couple of months, you know that it is easy to lose your way. I don't know, I've lost my way at times, and Paul is encouraging us, don't waver, stay on track, keep on going, don't stop. The eternity is almost here. In fact, it's here, you just got to get there. And so he's saying, hey, at church, the Philippi, you've got to stay steady in God. And then he keeps on, he says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche. I don't know if that's how you say her name, but I really like it that way. And it says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to iron out their differences and make up. So obviously there's a drama, if you would, in the church at Philippi, and Paul addresses it. He addresses it because unity has to happen in the house of God. And so he's just saying, hey, get this right, because we were listening to a preaching this week, and it's a demonic presence, disunity. Disunity is a demonic presence, and you see that more and more in the American church, in the capital C church. You see this demonic, let's just be in disunity about everything. Let's just argue about everything. And so Paul addresses the issue between these two women, and he says to them, hey, I urge you ladies to iron out your differences and make up. Why? Because it's not worth eternity. Look how he writes it next. He says, God doesn't want his children holding grudges. Underline that and highlight that. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. And then he calls in Sigeus and he says, oh yes, Sigeus, since you're right there to help them work things out, do your best with them. He's just saying, hey, let's make this right. These women, they work for the message. So these were not ungodly women. These were not women who did not know Jesus. These were women who knew Jesus but still chose to have drama in their life. And so Paul not only addresses it, he sends someone to help them out. Why? Because he knows that if this church at Philippi was going to remain, that there could not be disunity in the house of the Lord. There could not be a disagreement. And so he's saying, you've got to work this out. You've got to quit arguing. You've got to quit all the drama. If he was writing right in 2020, he would say, quit all the drama, ladies. And so he says this, and he says, get it right. He says, these women worked for the message hand in hand with Clement and me and with all the other veterans, worked as hard as any of us. Remember, their names are also in the book of life. And as I was meditating that on this week, I thought, wow. More of you, less of me, right? That's the song. That was the heart of Paul. He was saying, hey, these ladies work for the message. Remember, their name is in the book of life. If you would remember that about your Christian brother or sister, you would say less and pray more. If you would remember that they belong to the house of Lord, that their name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you would remember and you would put their names before the throne and not on your Snapchat or your social media feed. Instead, you would begin to say, no, Lord, I am lifting them up because they are my brother, they are my sister, and their name too is also written in the names in the Lamb's book of life. That just because we have a little bit between us doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven. And so you begin to pray and you begin to encourage unity and you begin to shut your mouth and say, I'm not going to say anything because their name is also written in the Lamb's book of life. And so that's how we are to live if you're going to walk in joy this morning. Now you can walk however you want. You can be discouraged and discontent, but if you want to walk in joy, keep on remembering that their names are in the book of life. Amen. It might change the way you think. It might change the way you argue this morning if you remember their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And Paul continues. I'm continuing on. I haven't even gotten to the message yet. It says this, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side. You're working with them. You're not against them. Help them to see that the master is about to arrive. You should be seeing that every day that you go to work. The master is ready to arrive. The master Jesus is coming. Let's be prepared. Let's make ourselves prepared. He could show up in a minute. And so all the time we're working for the kingdom. We're lifting up the kingdom of God. And so he keeps on. Paul writes, don't fret. Don't worry. Underline that. Instead of worrying, do what? Pray. Let your petitions and your praises shape your worries. So if you have worry this morning, let your petitions and your praises shape your worries into prayer. Letting God know your concerns before you know it. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. We need to be settled in the Lord. We need to know that we can walk in joy. How do you do that? You let your worries, and as you pray, you let your worries go over to the Lord and know that He has got it. He is still on the throne. He hasn't left this morning, and so it will come. And as you do that day in and day out, and you begin to meditate on the word of the Lord, and you begin to pray, God's worth and his value, it will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So summing it all up, friends, and this is where we'll sit and park for a little bit this morning, I'd say you do best. Now, Paul writes this. He says, summing this all up, I'd say that you would do best by filling your minds and meditating on things. And then he does a list. I love this list. It says that you would meditate on things that are true, that are noble, that are reputable, that are authentic, that are compelling, that is gracious. That means that you would just be gracious, not because they deserve it, but because that's the way that we are to be thinking. The best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse. Put into practice what you learn from me. So Paul says, hey, I'm doing this. Inside of prison, I am thinking about the best and not the worst. I am thinking about the beautiful and not the ugly. I am not thinking about things to curse instead of I'm giving up a praise. So he says, hey, you can follow me. Today's message is be careful, little mind, what you think. I'm going to say it again. Be careful, little mind, what you think. You remember that song, be careful, little eyes, what you see? You remember that song? Does anybody remember this? Just me. And I'm like making myself. Thank you, all the old people in the room. Can I get an amen? Anybody over 40? And so today's message, and I thought about this. See, what Paul is saying is that we are to be careful in what we think. Now, I can prove this through scripture. So let me do this for a minute to be careful, little mind. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, we have it on the screen. It says, be careful how you what? Think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So if you're writing it down, write that down. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. We're going to use the King James. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think, so you are. See, be careful, little mind, what you're filling it with and what you're meditating on. Ephesians 4 verse 23. It says this, let the Spirit renew your what? Your thoughts. So the Holy Spirit, now if we choose to allow Him to work in our lives, is constantly renewing our thoughts and our attitudes. Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. Now, how is God going to transform us? When we get saved, we are to be called to be sanctified, holy, set apart, grabbing onto Jesus. So what happens is God transforms you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think. See, it didn't say by changing what you smoke or what your addiction is. Those things come as you change the way that you think. So it starts with what is going on up here. Now, here's the thing. I have no idea what's going on in your head, and I'm so thankful this morning because I have enough with my mess that's going on in my head. But the Bible says if we're to be more and more like Jesus, then we are to be less and less like ourselves, and that happens in the way that we think. Remember that in Isaiah, the prophet, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways. So God, I'm just trying to transform myself. It says by transforming you into a new person, by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will. Anybody want to know God's will for your life? Start changing the way that you think. It comes first. Notice the way that it reads, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then you will know God's will as you're changing the way this as you think, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, here's the thing. More than ever, I feel, and I think I have some evidence to prove this, in our day, in our culture, our world is trying to teach us or tell us how to think. It's just the way that life is. And so, and I'm going to give a couple of examples. They are trying to tell us how to think. And I don't know who they is, but I'll just give you some examples. In advertising, if I would say right now in year 2021, if I would say just do it, you would tell me the brand is Nike. No, everyone in the room knew that to just do it would have been Nike. Now, 50 years ago, we probably wouldn't have known that. But now, anytime that I hear the words just do it, I automatically think in my mind, I need a pair of Nike shoes. That's exactly. And then my kids also need a pair. And then I think about how broke I'm going to be by tomorrow because Nike is expensive. Can I get an amen? And so immediately they have, is it bad? It's not bad. What do they want? My money. And so they're immediately, if I would say, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum, I'm loving it. You would know right away, everybody in the room who loves McDonald's, not me, but everybody else in the room, you would know just by that little jingle, I have somehow in your mind made you to be able to think about McDonald's, and now you're hungry, or you're maybe not hungry because you don't like McDonald's. And so, it's interesting. Advertising is so expensive. It is so expensive. We were trying to do a billboard for the church, and they're like, yeah, $500 a month. I was like, are you serious? You know, that's so expensive. But it works because if you get in a wreck, the local one right here is Phone. Anybody knows? Phone Baldone. Yeah, every billboard is like, if I ever get in a wreck, all I have to do is phone Baldone. I'm good. And I know I could probably tell you his number, and I don't even memorize numbers. And so here I am. I got Damon Baldone's number right here on my phone. Anytime I get in a wreck, it's okay. I'm going to phone. See how the advertising has changed the way I think? Because normally, I would have did one call. That's all. Morris Bart. And so now, because I've seen Damon Baldone, I'm just all over the place. Who do I call? I don't know. I don't know how to think. Can you tell me how to think? And so advertising does this. Now, social media also does this really, really well, but you don't have to pay for advertising, right? Facebook is free, and Snapchat is free, and social media is free, but it's run by algorithms that determine how you think, and what is important to you begins to be the thing that you see over and over. So, for example, if you like sports, particularly the New Orleans Pelicans, everything that I see is about the New Orleans Pelicans. So I'm just looking, and I'm just seeing all these things happening, and you don't care. You could care less about the New Orleans Pelicans. But for me, everything is a clickbait. You ever watch it on Netflix? There's this big social drama. It's really good. I forgot the name of it. And it's sort of tell, what is it called? Social Dilemma. And so the people that actually invented Facebook and social media do not allow their kids on those things because it says it is changing the way that we think. It is changing it so that we become so polarized, not just here in America, but in every country and in every nation. It's changing the way that we think. And what is supposed to be happening as believers is that we are supposed to be conformed into the image of God. And yet right now, the social media is driving it, and they keep on posting things. And the advertisement, you ever notice that? You start talking to someone about something, and all of a sudden, Google knows exactly what you're talking about, and where you should shop, and how you should shop. And so it's starting to take a form and almost an image of itself. News outlets were supposed to be the news. Remember back in the old days, all of us 40 and up, we would watch news to watch what was happening, not to see a political agenda. And so now we see that our music, our shows, everything is changing the way. Now they have so much corruption in our music that our young people, that our shows that we're watching. And it used to be we couldn't believe they said one curse word. And now it's just all over the place with every kind of thing. And it's changing the way that we think. Your family, your friends, who you hang out with, who you talk to all the time will change the way that you think. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad. And sometimes we'll see people leave Christ because of the people that they were hanging out with. They became like them instead of becoming like Jesus. And if the number one person who wants to take control of your thoughts, it would be the enemy. He hates you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your walk with Christ. He doesn't want you in the house of God, and he definitely doesn't want you in eternity with heaven. And so because of that, he begins to speak lies, because that is who he is. He is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. And this is the worst one for me. It will always be, you're not good enough. You're not doing a good enough job. You're not this. You're not that. You're not like so-and-so. You're not like your family. You're too much like your family. And so over and over and over again, in my mind are all these thoughts that are going on that are not being transformed into the image of God. And I'm not doing the test that Paul says. Paul says this: if it's noble, if it's good, if it's true, if it's authentic, then you can think about it. And if not, it has to kick the road. It can't be in my mind any longer. I have a girl, she's 9, you know that. And since we've had her, we've adopted. So we've been together 5 years. And so since we've adopted her, it seems like for whatever reason, her thoughts are always controlled by the fact that nobody wanted her when she was a baby. And now, 5 years, she has been longer with us than she has been in the orphanage. And still, daily, we fight the thoughts, you are wanted, you are valuable, you mean something to us. We chose you. And every night before I go to bed, out of all of my kids, she's the one that I have to grab a hold of and say, I love you. I chose you. And God is saying that to us this morning. I love you. I chose you. You are mine. I'm not going to let you go. And so the thing is that we have to allow our thoughts, we have to allow what we are filling our minds with, we have to allow what we are meditating on to do exactly what Philippians says. You have to fill your minds, and you have to meditate on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, and not the worst. This week, I've just been trying to do that. Just one thing. I can only do one thing. I got 4 kids. I can only do one thing, God. The best and not the worst. That's just been my thoughts. If that's a good thought, if that's the best thought, yes, then it stays. If that's the worst thought, then it has to kick the road. I have to do that in my mind as these thoughts keep on popping up. The beautiful and not the ugly. Things to praise and not things to curse. You have to fill your mind. Everybody say, fill your mind. So that means if media is filling your mind more than the Word of God, you have to let go of media so that you can grab a hold to what the thoughts that you're supposed to have. If your friends are filling your mind, you need to let, and they're leading you in a bad direction, you need to let go of your friends so that you can fill your mind with the things that God says and what Christ says. That's the deal. If we're going to walk with Christ, if we are going to be careful little minds what we think, we are going to have to meditate on the Word and on the filling of God. What He says, what He told me, are those things true? According to the Word, not my political agenda, but according to the Word of God. Is that thing noble or reputable? Does it line up with Scripture? Is it authentic? Is it compelling and gracious? The best and not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise and things to come. So today, be careful, little mind, what you think. And I thought, how am I going to show you how to do this? Because I'm a big application, I need a visual. And so this past summer, we went rock climbing. We went rock hunting. You ever been rock hunting before? It's a weird thing. We have a huge family. My mom and dad, we have 3 kids, and I have a sister and a brother, which is not huge. The problem is that we have all adopted and fostered and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So whenever we travel, we had a family vacation with my family, my mom and dad. And so we are looking for free and cheap things to do. Amen. So we had 21 of us, and most of it was just kids, like just kids after kids. So I said, Ted, I really want to go rock digging. I'm always looking to make it big. You know, I'm always looking to the next big thing. And so he says, fine. So I try to get my family convinced to go on this big rock climbing adventure. So we go to, I think it's called Ron Coleman's rock mine. Do we have a picture? Did you get a picture? We have a picture of it. So this is us and my family. And so we go into the store, Ron Coleman's, and we have 21 people. And the deal was that it was costing $25 a person to do this hunting for crystals. Now, I got six people, so really quick in my mind, that's like $150. We can't do it. We're out. See you later. And so she looks at us, and I think she felt bad for us because we had so many kids and so few adults. She said, I'm going to give you a special. I said, cool. I love specials. She said, I'm going to give you $5 a person. I was like, we're in. So the whole family got in, $5. Amen. I mean, that's Jesus right there. And so we get in for $5 a person. And so now, like, people that weren't going to do it, now you're doing it. Everybody, we're all going crystal mining, from the three-year-old to my dad is 70. So we're going rock climbing together, and we get out into the mountains of Arkansas, as you can see, and there's piles of red dirt. Now, you can see this. It's like a mountain that they dug up. It's so interesting. And so we get down there. We, like, travel down into there, and we all buy these little pickaxes, you know what I'm talking about, like these little things, like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just pretending. And so we see the mountains, and so we get up on there, and, like, we have no clue, like, what we're doing. But the good news is, like, there were some geologists and, like, really smart people all around us. And so we went to go hang out with them, like, the college professor, and she's there, and there's all these people that had been doing this. And so we said, how exactly do you find crystals in this big pile of red dirt? She said, it's pretty simple. She said, what you're going to do is you're going to grab the dirt, the junk, the disgusting stuff, and you're just going to put it through your hands. And then she says, what you're going to do is you're going to begin feeling around for something that feels like a rock. It's like, cool. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I just grab this big old pile of red dirt, and I start feeling around. Nothing. I keep on, like, you know, I'm going to do this over and over again. Now my kids are all hooked. We're all hooked. You can see us doing that. And so we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of the bottom of the ravine, this truck comes. This big monster truck full of dirt comes, and she says, go there. And so the truck just dumps this pile of dirt and crystals. And so all of us, just like little ants, you know, we're right there. And we're like picking, and we're there. And all of a sudden, somebody in our group says, I found one. And I couldn't believe it, so I of course I'm going to go see, you know, because I'm the aunt and whatever. And so they had picked through one, and they were looking for the thing that was real, authentic, compelling. They were looking for the thing that was the best and not the worst. And it took a little bit of time, right? It took us a lot of time because we're crazy. And so we were going through that, and all of a sudden, one of my nephews or nieces, they just pulled out what is a crystal. And you ever did something well the first time, so then you're inspired to do it well, like, a bunch of times? And so now everybody is like, we are crystal miners. We're going to do this. And I think about mining, and I think about, this is the same thing we're going to do with our thoughts. Isn't it? You're gonna grab all the thoughts together, and then you're going to go through them today. Tonight, ladies, when we can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through that thought and say, we're going to use the test, like, not the crystal mining test, but we're going to use the test that Paul says, is it true? And if it's not, we're going to let it go. If it's noble, and if not, we're going to say, no, you can't have a place in my mind. Is it reputable? Is it authentic? And you're going to keep on testing. And the crazy thing is we did this over and over again. And as we did, the rocks got bigger. Now, this one's a little bit milky. You can see that. So it's not worth as much money. But we found this in that red pile of dirt. Crystal. This is crystal, ladies and gentlemen. Don't steal it. I'm trying to sell them on eBay after service. And you're laughing. I'm not laughing. So we kept on finding them. You know, every person in our team, all 21 of us, found a crystal. And I kept on finding them. This one's milky and quartz. And then all of a sudden, we started finding things that were clear. This one's worth about $30 or $40. My son found this one. My oldest son, he wanted to be named today. He found it. And we were going through, seeing if it was real and authentic and best. About 5 minutes later, he goes up to the truck, and he's piling through the dirt, sifting things out that shouldn't be there. And ladies and gentlemen, he found this. Right there, in that red pile of dirt, he found something that was real and authentic. He found what was the best and not the worst. Guys, if you can do this with crystals, surely we can do this with our thoughts. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes today? If you've been struggling, or you say, you know what, that's me. See, it took a little bit of time. That didn't happen in 5 minutes. That happened like in 3 hours. And then we just got really tired, so we left. But this is a process. This is not just a month. This is not just 6 months. Some of you have been listening to lies from the enemy all of your life. You've been listening to these thoughts that say you're no good, you're not valuable, or maybe you've been looking at things that are not authentic, and you have allowed them to take root in your life, and so now your thoughts don't look anything like Jesus, and instead they look like the world. And yet Romans 12 in verse 1 and 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so today you're going to start the process. I wish I could lay hands on you and all of your thoughts would be just like Jesus's, but the biblical message is this, is that you're going to walk out of the room and you're going to start this process. Now we're going to post it and we're going to have that verse, but I would encourage you, go write it down, tear it out and put it whatever you look at the most. If that's your car, if that's your mirror, and you start your morning and say, is that thing true? Is that thing noble? Is that a thing of good report? Is it the best and not the worst? And so you begin to do that over and over and over again. And here's the thing. The first time, you might just find a little small crystal. And that's good. Celebrate the little small crystals. But I can promise you, as you walk with God, you're going to find some diamonds in the rough. You're going to find some things that are true about you. You're going to find some things that the Lord says about you. And you're going to be able to walk in confidence because your mind has been being transformed to be the mind of Christ. Today, if you want to start the process, will you just lift your hand right where you are? Just say, you know what? I need my thoughts. I need my thoughts to be true and noble and just. I need them to be of good report. I need them to be the best and not the worst. I need them to be the beautiful and not the ugly. I need the things to praise, and I need to stop the curse. If that's you, would you just lift your hands right to heaven? If you're joining us online, just right where you are, just say, yeah, that's me. And God can change you if you let him change your thoughts. Here's the thing about thoughts. It's like little ditches in your mind. So the thought chooses the pattern of least resistance. This is like a neurological thing. And so what happens is, if you've always looked in the mirror and said, I'm not good enough, it's going to take a while, a little bit of days, 30 plus days, to start changing. No, I'm God's kid. So you're going to have to wake up every morning for the next 30 days and say, no, I'm God's kid. So you're going to begin the process. And eventually, you're going to wake up every morning and say, no, I'm God's kid. That's with every thought. God, you see the hands that are in the room right now. God, those of us that struggle with thinking on those that are pure and trustworthy and noble. God, we struggle with thinking about the good. We think about the ugly. God, so today we are lifting up our hands in surrender and saying, God, you control our thoughts. Not media, not our friends, not advertisement. God, not the videos and the things that we watch. God, no longer do we want to be controlled by the enemy, God, who hates us, but rather, God, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can transform the way that we think. God, we pray that we would meditate on you. God, that we would fill our minds not with garbage and not with trash, but instead we would fill our minds with the Word of God. God, because we know that that is true and noble and just and honorable. God, help us to think on that which is beautiful and not which is ugly. God, that which is good and not that which is bad. God, today we are asking in this room that you would control our thoughts. God, that our thoughts would be conformed to the image of Christ. God, not just right now, but tomorrow morning when we go to work. God, Tuesday night, whenever we're just tired and aggravated, God, that we would say, is that thing true? Is it noble? God, on Friday evening, when we're choosing where we're going to hang out with our friends, God, that we'd ask, is that the good and not the bad? Or, God, is that the thing you want us thinking on? And as followers of Jesus, we want our thoughts to line up with what you say and how you want us to think. God, we thank you that you will help us, give us your power, because we can't do this on our own. We know that. God, so we're just asking for your power to be in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you give the Lord some praise? Go out that room, find a crystal, meditate on the Word of God, join us in our Philippians challenge. We love you guys. Stay right after for the El Salvador meeting if you want to. We'll start in 5 minutes. Go out and think good thoughts. In Jesus' name, we love you guys. See you soon.